Good morning, church family from the Browns.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Morning, church family.
Morning.
Good morning, church family. Greetings from Cumber.
Hello, church family.
Hi, church family. From Craig and...
Good morning, church family.
Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you're keeping well. If you're visiting with us this morning, it's great to have you. And if you're not a Christian, we're glad that you're here to see what Jesus is all about as we lift him up here this morning together. In a few moments, the team will lead us in a song called Yet Not I. But before they do, I just want to consider these words of the Proverbs as we sing about trusting in God and not ourselves. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Amen.
My Redeemer, there is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. I labor on in weakness.
Boys and girls, here's a Bible story that will hopefully stick with you. One day, the disciples asked Jesus a question. They said, "Jesus, we want to know what the kingdom of heaven is like and what the king is like. So can you please answer us this question?" So Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is absolutely brilliant," and he answered the question. Then the disciples said, "But how can we get into the kingdom of heaven? Can we get there by riding on a donkey or by floating on a boat?" And Jesus said, "No, but I'll answer your question about how you can get into the kingdom of heaven and what heaven is like." He decided to tell a story. One day, a man was ploughing his field when all of a sudden he came to this bump in the ground, and he couldn't get his plough through any further because of the bump in the ground. This bump was massive, so off he got down off his plough, he dug a hole where the bump was, he dug the massive hole and jumped to the bottom of the hole, and what did he find? He found this box at the bottom of the hole. So he opened the box, looked inside, and what did he see? In it was a precious stone, a hidden treasure. So he thought, this was absolutely incredible. So what he did was, he thought, I need this precious stone. So he put the precious stone back in the box and shut the box lid down. He buried the box once again, but left a bump in the ground so he could remember where the box was. Then he ran all the way back to his house. And when he got home, he sold his bed, sold his frying pan, and sold his auntie's best necklace. He even sold his house to get enough money to buy the feed to get to the box so that he could get the precious stone that was in the box. When he had all the money, he ran all the way back to the field, ploughed the field, came to the big massive bump, dug the big hole, got to the bottom of the hole and opened the box and got the precious stone. This man was willing to sell everything to buy the feed, to get the box, to keep the precious stone that Jesus had said. Jesus said heaven is exactly like that. So he answered the disciples' questions. It's so valuable that a person is willing to do everything they could to find it. But to many, heaven is hidden, just like this treasure was. There's not enough money in the world to buy your way into heaven. The Bible says that eternal life is free, a free gift to all who can receive it by faith. So boys and girls, at this especially hard time, if you have received the gift of eternal life, you could be the bump in the road that causes others to dig enough to find it. You are not too young to be used by God at this very hard time, whether it's helping people with shopping, whether it's just saying hello to your neighbours. You can be the bump that causes others to dig enough to find out about that free gift of eternal life. Thank
you. Let's pray. Father God, we know a lot has changed in all our lives. And sometimes we're very content and sometimes we struggle. But we thank you that you do not change and you're always with us. We thank you for your word and promises. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to remind us and help us recognise the promises and love of God in all we see and do. Jesus, you are the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to continue to fix our eyes on you. When we do not know what the days ahead will look like, we can trust in your provision and plans for us. We thank you for technology, along with the postal and delivery workers that help us stay connected and encourage each other. We pray for our political leaders and scientific advisors as they guide and try to look at how to balance the economy, protecting children and adults that are put at risk because of lockdown, along with the need to reduce the spread of infection and control the demands on the NHS. Would you give our political leaders wisdom and unite them in their plans? We want to remember our health service that took a minute's silence this week for those healthcare staff that lost their lives working on the front line. Would you comfort their families and reach into their lives? We pray for hospital chaplains working with their NHS colleagues. Would you strengthen them and give them wisdom for all they deal with? We pray for counsellors helping NHS staff process their challenging and often traumatic shifts with the difficulty of supporting relatives dealing with separation and devastating news. We thank you for the many Christian workers in the NHS. Would you help them to shine in the darkness around them, protect them and their faith in these challenging days? Father, would you draw near to those in our own church family that are struggling or are unwell? We pray that they will experience the peace of God each day and be comforted in a way that only you can provide. We pray for all the volunteers and the leadership in our church. Give them creativity to work differently, reaching into the lives of us all and particularly those that need help, including those in our wider community that need to hear about you. We thank you for your love. And we remember, God, your ways are perfect, your promises prove true, and you are a shield to all who look for protection. Help us this week to draw close to you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
About a week ago, I read a post online where lots of people were commenting about the things they were really missing about normal church services. And of course, one of the things that lots of people were saying was that they were really missing being part of a large group of people singing together the great truths of God's word. So today we've tried to put something together that's just a wee bit different. We got a whole pile of people from our church family to sing a song, and then we've assembled it into a video which features lots of faces that you won't have seen for a wee while. And so I hope this is an encouragement to you as you watch this. Now, I will say we can't do this every week because this is a difficult and time-consuming thing to do. But I hope it's an encouragement to you this morning. And when we do it again with a different group of people in a few weeks' time. Here's the song. It's 10,000 Reasons. Do sing along.
Worship your holy name.
worship your holy name.
Today's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 7, commencing at verse 54 and reading through to chapter 8, verse 3. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison.
Well, as we journey through the book of Acts, we see the birth and the infancy of the church. And last week, we've seen how the church gathered together and what it done there. And this week, as the church scatters, we're going to see what the church does whenever it doesn't meet together, whenever it goes out into the community. And we're going to say three things. We're going to ask three questions. What does the church do as it scatters? What does the church do it? And what is the reaction that the church faces? As we find ourselves in these days where we cannot gather together physically, where we are scattered around the country and around the world, hopefully there will be some lessons for us all to learn about how we can have an impact for the kingdom of God even in these days of being scattered. As we pick it up in chapter 7, we are focusing in on the life of one man called Stephen. You will probably know him as the first martyr of the church has been read to us, and we see his life. We're going to see from his example, really, he follows Christ's example. So let's dive in and see, what should the church do as it gathers? Well, really, as we follow the life of Stephen, we come into this at the very end of his life as he's facing a trial and as he has put to death. So we really have to go back to chapter 6 to see more about this man. And really, we see that he does two things. He practices works of grace and he preaches words of grace. He practices works of grace and he preaches words of grace. The early church had a problem in chapter 6 around the distribution of food. So they chose 7 men who were going to be able to distribute this food well amongst the people. And Stephen was one of them, that he was practicing good works. And we see in that chapter also that he has done some powerful signs and wonders as well. Stephen was somebody who, through his actions, displayed the power of Christ and the gospel. But he also preached words of grace as well. We come to him today and he has just addressed the Sanhedrin with 53 verses, with one of the greatest sermons that we read in the Bible, where he takes a grand sweep through the nation of Israel's history, and he talks about God's goodness to them, and he talks about the rebellion of the people of Israel. The forefathers of those that he is talking to today, he says, you see how they were so hardened? And then he turns the table and he applies it directly to him and says, you're just the same as your ancestors. Stephen here is preaching words of grace because he's telling them the truth about their hearts. These two things go so well together. As we produce good works and as we preach good news, it's a great recipe for having an impact on the world and causing people to sit up and to pay attention to what we are saying and doing. And so, church, today, as we are scattered, what opportunities there are around us to practice good works, to do works of grace to others in our community, in our friendship groups, and in our families, but also to share some of the good news as well, to tell them about the hope that is within us. Stephen here follows the pattern of Christ, who is powerful in word and in deed. And indeed, aren't we told to preach Christ crucified, always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us? And Paul also tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 10, that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he has prepared for us in advance. So in these days that we are scattered, let's do works of grace and let's share words of grace. So secondly, the question is, well, how should the church do these works of grace and share these words of grace? Is it through having pounds, a big budget? Is it through personality? Is it through programs? No. As we see Stephen described here, he's described constantly as Stephen full of the Holy Spirit. Even earlier in chapter 6, verse 7, says he was a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Chapter 6, verse 8, is full of God's grace and power. And here in verse 55, it says Stephen full of the Holy Spirit. And it's exactly the same for Christ as well. Even the Son of God, full of the Holy Spirit, that came down and anointed him at his baptism, that fueled him for his 3 years of earthly ministry. And if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if the early disciples and apostles and the early church needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit as well? Corrie ten Boom shares so well. She says, trying to do the Lord's work in your own strength is the most confusing, exhausting and tedious of all work. But when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the ministry of Jesus just flows out of you. I wonder if we've been trying to do things on our own for far too long, that we need this dependence and reliance and filling of the Holy Spirit afresh on us. You say, Keith, how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, very quickly today, it's a gift from God that comes at our conversion. Jesus promised it in John 14 that the Spirit would come on us, and we have to ask for it. We have to pray for it. Jesus says in Luke 11 to ask your Father, and he will not withhold this gift from you. Paul also writes and says that do not be filled with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we need to fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. There is a role on our part, and I believe that role is to drink in the words of the Holy Spirit, his very inspired words of God's word, to be reading them, meditating on them, memorizing them, getting them in any way that we can. One writer has also said, burn God's word in your heart, his thoughts on your mind, his will on your actions, and you will have a spirit-filled life. We're going to listen to a song now, and I encourage you to use it as a prayer that God will fill you afresh with his Holy Spirit.
Show your of Christ will be clean for all the world to see.
So we've seen what the scattered church should do. Good works and good news. And we've seen how you should do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength. And then you say, well, Keith, what will the reaction be from the world around us? Well, I believe the reaction will be the same as it was in the book of Acts. Some will be converted, some will believe and will be added to the number of their church. And how wonderful it will be when churches reopening to see new believers hopefully come and join us who've come to faith during this time. But there will also be opposition. Christ faced opposition. The early church faced opposition, and we are told that we will face opposition as well. Stephen faced opposition for the good works that he was doing. He faced opposition as he preached to the Sanhedrin. You see here that they are infuriated with his words, and he looks up to heaven and he sees the glory of God. He sees the Son of God at his right hand, and this infuriates them even more, and they start yelling at their top of the forces, and they rush at them and they drag him out of the city and they hold him down the ground and they stone him. They are totally infuriated. They oppose him, they persecute him, and they kill him. This should not be unexpected. And we see the example of Stephen here, willing to give us all for the cause of the gospel. Opposition came, and it all happened in front of a young man called Saul that we will be seeing more of as our series unfolds in Acts. That day, persecution broke out to the church, and the church was scattered even further throughout Judea. Persecution and opposition will continue to face the church. This seems to be the norm through church history. And we're maybe coming out of a period where we weren't persecuted or opposed in the same way in Northern Ireland. But be of good heart. Christ has overcome the world. He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. As you maybe face opposition and persecution today, can I encourage you, as Stephen did, to lift his eyes to the heavens, to turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. Can I encourage you to look to Christ today through his word, that he would encourage you, give you strength for the day as you face these battles. I wonder today, are you somebody who sees the good works of Christians and the good news that a Christian friend, a family member has shared? And you, like the religious leaders of the time, like the Sanhedrin here, oppose and are infuriated by it. Can I encourage you today not to harden your hearts towards it, but to soften your heart toward Christ, to consider Christ afresh, to give your life to him, to be added to the number of the church today. Maybe over the years, the church has been good at gathering together, at putting on events and programs and meeting together on a Sunday and throughout the week and then back to Sunday again. And maybe we haven't been great at scattering. Maybe our good works and our good news to others has been not what it should be. But maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe we have neglected the Holy Spirit and His work in the past. Maybe this is a time for us to repent of that, to ask afresh to be filled, to be equipped for the church to be scattered and to make an impact on Bangor, on North Down, Northern Ireland, the island of Ireland, across the UK and across the world, that many would come and be added to the number.
Our last song this morning reminds us that faith in Christ is meant to lead to action. By faith, the church was called to go in the power of the Spirit to the lost, to deliver captives and to preach good news to every corner of the world. As we sing this song together now, let us pray that we will be enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to walk by faith and not by sight, and to live lives that glorify Him.
Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope that you have been encouraged by our fellowship together and also challenged by God's word this morning. We would love the opportunity to pray with you, and if you would like that, then please do get in touch with us so that we can call you and pray with you and also pray for you as a church. I'm just going to pray, but I pray that God will also bless this week for you going forward and that you will stay encouraged until we meet again next Sunday. Father, we thank you for this time together, and we pray, Lord, that you will keep us safe in the height of troubled times. And we thank you, God, for those who could join us this morning. We thank you for the capabilities to still hear the word of God and to be encouraged with one another as we fellowship together. Thank you for those who led the service, and thank you for those who watched it. And we pray, God, that your hand will be upon our nation at this time, and we pray that you'll be with us, that you'll keep us strong together and unified in Christ. Amen.